Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for tonight's sermon is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I know it sounds weird to say these words that are going to come out in just a second on a day when it is so cold outside that it's probably the first thing from your thoughts, but spring cleaning will be coming soon. It will, and we'll be happy when it comes. And if you think about it, Lent, the season of Lent, is a cleaning, although not one done with vacuums and dusters and soap and water, but rather with the means of grace. For while we can live with a certain amount of clutter in our homes and still be okay, a messy soul is a far more grievous matter. Lent comes around each year to teach us of repentance. You can think of it as the spring cleaning for your soul, if that helps, which is why Lent is such a good thing, spiritually speaking, for us. For the next 40 days, Christians are led on an annual pilgrimage to set their face with Jesus towards Jerusalem, to his cross, through his bitter sufferings and redeeming death, to his grave, and thanks be to God, to his glorious resurrection. Lent is a penitential season, and rightly so, it is a time of repentance. But because repentance involves both sorrow for sin and faith in Jesus that brings forgiveness and new life, Lent is also a time of cleansing and renewal. Cleansing and renewal in Jesus, the Lamb of God. That is what we will be doing in these services this Lenten season. Airing out our souls, clearing out the clutter of our sin-filled hearts, tossing out the trash, and finding refreshment and renewal in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses us from all sin. Our focus tonight and in the services of Lent this year, during even and through Holy Week, will be on the hymn that we just sang. Focusing on meditations based around the thoughts that brings to your mind. Lamb of God, pure and holy. Each time we gather before the cross, we will contemplate another perspective of the Savior's redeeming love for us as it is highlighted in God's Word. Tonight we begin our Lenten journey with the sinless Lamb of God who comes clearly into focus through the words of St. Peter in our text. Who writes, Jesus is a lamb without blemish or defect. The Bible says the Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary as we confessed tonight. A true man just like us in every way except one. He knew no sin. In that way, he is different from you and me. For we are sinners through and through as we confess tonight and pleaded out for mercy from God. But in every other way, Jesus is exactly like us, including the fact that he faced the very same temptations you and I face each and every day. The difference is that Jesus resisted every one of those temptations, while all too often we cave into the temptations. Or, heaven forbid, but it does happen, even embrace it with open arms. Thus, we find ourselves defiled and contaminated by sin from head to toe. It should not surprise us when we feel dirty and polluted deep down inside. For we have fouled ourselves not just in what we have done, but in what we have said and even what we have thought. There is truly nothing good in us when it comes to our sinful nature. That old Adam is a scoundrel. Sadly, we are thoroughly blemished and defiled in our sin. Worse yet, by nature, we find ourselves disqualified from the presence of God, and we stand under his wrath and his judgment. Yet we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He knows the onslaught of doubts and the temptations firsthand. He is familiar with every trick of the devil. Jesus bore our sorrow and is well acquainted with our griefs. He is able to sympathize with us in every one of our weaknesses because he has endured them all. And he knows every one of them firsthand. Our consolation is not found, you see, in a sympathetic Jesus, though, in a compassionate Jesus. Our consolation is found only in a sacrificial Jesus. In his suffering on the cross, Jesus exchanges his righteousness for our sins. He, the sinless Son of God, was made to be sin for us, though he knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God, as Paul tells us. All who trust in Christ not only find their sins removed and absolved, but by faith in Jesus, they also share in his holiness. Before the judgment seat of God, they stand just as holy as Christ is, without blemish, without defect. For that is how the groom makes his bride appear. But the apostle teaches that the heavenly status we have in Jesus, the Lamb of God, also has a profound meaning for the life we live here on earth. Remember verse 18. You were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. I know at first that doesn't really seem to fit. It doesn't connect with us because we don't feel our lives are that empty after all. How can they be empty when they're crammed full with so many activities? We have our hands full of appointments and deals to close and projects to finish and goods to be sold and people to be managed and kids to be raised. All kinds of things crowd our calendar and our clock. With all the demands on our time and attention, it is quite difficult just keeping our heads above water, much less stopping to breathe for a moment. Amid our fractured, frenzied life, Lent comes in as a breath of fresh air, as if you've opened the windows and the doors and let the screens be open to let in the fresh air so you can breathe good stuff again, instead of that filtered stuff that continues to circulate. It bids us pause to reflect on what is going on around us. St. Peter gives us that fresh perspective of the whirlwind that blurs our lives. He labels it bluntly, empty. The empty way handed down from our forefathers. Who could call our life empty? The old Adam has to wander. It hates that kind of thought because it gets under its skin. With our crowded calendars, our seemingly unending list of details clamoring for our attention day after day, the problem seems to be just the opposite from reality, or as some people would want to say, from real life, as if what's in the Bible is made up life. We seem to be suffering from too much rather than from being empty. We seem to have a glut rather than a famine. But that's precisely the problem. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. Life on overdrive is not really living. Many people consider what they consider signs of success you might accumulate throughout your life. But if that's all your life has to show for your time here on earth, it's empty. We don't have anything. We may have a full life as some people count it, but when you get right down to it, such a hectic, compulsive life is full of emptiness and often is just an attempt to hide from your own emptiness. The world around us is always trying to sell us a bill of goods. We hear a great deal of talk about it. I mean, this political season that we love to find ourselves in, as the locusts have descended upon us again to tell us that they'll give us everything we ever want, that we'll never have to work for it ever again, and it'll be free, well, at least for somebody. They always want to talk to us about freedom. But freedom boils down in our culture, it seems to boil down to you leaving me alone so I can do whatever I darn well want to. The freedom of the uninhibited will. The Bible brands such freedom, well, bondage. Proverbs tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's the problem with the life in this fallen world. All that glitters is most certainly not gold. Things are not always as they seem. Turn a sinner loose to do whatever he or she pleases to do, and all you've done is set them down the path to hell. And sin will always masquerade as freedom. Look at it. We do it in our own talk. Abortion is called what? Freedom of choice. Right? Homosexual activity is labeled as an alternative lifestyle, a question of personal freedom. Under the guise of freedom of religion, Christian imagery has been removed from public view and Christian vocabulary banished from public discourse. All these aberrations are labeled as freedoms. And the claim is made just as same as in St. Peter's day, that these freedoms are precious heritage handed down to us from our forefathers. But these so-called freedoms are not freedoms at all. They are indeed bondage to sin and slavery to death. No wonder then St. Peter calls such bondage disguised as freedom what it actually is. Empty. Worthless. Listen again. You were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Note the passive nature of the redemption. You were redeemed. This is no do-it-yourself project. Such an empty way of life, despite its curb appeal, is actually slavery, and a slavery from which people cannot free themselves from at all. No pile of silver, no pot of gold, no amount of stocks and bonds, no accumulated net worth could ever be enough to free you from the bondage in which you are born and the chains in which you have forged yourself throughout your life with your own individual sins on top of it. Those of thought, word, and deed that we pled guilty of tonight. The Scriptures tell us that only the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the pure and holy Lamb of God, could redeem us from the bondage of sin. There is a price tag on your sin. And that price tag is horribly high. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Rome, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus came, this Lamb of God, this Lamb of ours, this pure and holy Lamb of God, to lay down His life for us on the cross, to pour out His blood that we slaves to sin might be freed. And you know, as Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Ash Wednesday is so named from the ancient custom in the Christian church that all the baptized would receive the sign of the cross in ashes on the first day of Lent, together with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and dust you will return." Now, we don't put the ashes on your forehead here at Pilgrim, but it doesn't mean you can't stop and think about that statement. Remember that you are dust, and dust you will return. If you really think about it, that's a horribly sobering thought, and one we all would do well to think on. One day each of us will depart this life and stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, and we dare not stand in the holy place clothed in the defilement of our own sin and the empty, futile life that we inherited from our forefathers. But through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we have the perfect claim of sonship. Clothed in the pure and holy righteousness of Christ Himself, faultless to stand that day before His throne. Now in this holy season, we contemplate the depth of the love of God, our merciful Heavenly Father, who loved the world so that He gave His only begotten Son to save us all. Entering this world in human flesh, Jesus shouldered the burden of our sin and guilt and the shame and defilement of all of us. He took it upon Himself, that rotten mess, like a stinking stole placed around His neck. And then He blotted out each and every one of our sins with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. As the pure and sinless Son of God, He could and did cleanse and free us from the bondage and defilement and filth of our sins. By His grace, we are His and He is ours this night. Our souls are cleansed by Him alone. So we come to Him and we lay down our burdens and put away our sorrows and set aside our heartaches and our pain. All this and more the pure and holy Lamb of God has taken with Him to the cross, that by His death He might redeem us, make us like Him, pure and holy, and set us free to live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. You can be sure of that. Even as we know He has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, so will all who have God-given faith in the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God without blemish or defect, have life in an eternal as their gift. In Jesus' precious name, amen.